Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show, and I'm also chairman of the board, CEO of Mage LLC, management consulting firm. Radio Entrepreneurs is a sideline for me. For those who don't know, some people are starting to think that's my full-time job. God help me if it is, only because I don't know if I could do it as well as other things. My co-host again today is Alex Dablofsky of Mage and Radio Entrepreneurs, our executive producer, Radio Entrepreneurs. Thanks, Alex, for stepping in.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Good. No complaints.
Is it tough sitting with the boss?
It's a little nerve-wracking, but it's okay.
I know.
You I'll last through it.
I know you like to work in arm's length from me. But we're going to keep you close. You know what they say, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
That was Reginald Swift, our next guest from Rubik's Strategies. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Okay, so unravel this the story behind Rubik's Strategies.
Oh, man. You know, there's a long version and there's a shorter version.
Well, you've got the 10-minute version.
All right, so in between, I got you. So this really was born out of just me looking at a Rubik's Cube one day, just the name alone, and kind of everything behind it was geared towards me being in an engineering field for 13 years. I've been in manufacturing and engineering for that amount of time, within aerospace, within nuclear or robotics, and in medical device. So, and each industry comes with its shortcomings. So I thought one day I wanted to help bridge the new innovative technologies to the 22nd century. So hence, Rubik's Strategy was born.
Very nice. I don't know if I've ever solved a Rubik's Cube, but give us a sense of the typical types of projects that you do.
So our core focus is in medical device and biopharmaceuticals. So right now I have a couple partnerships with a couple of nonprofits. One of them I'm helping developing a diabetic implant device to solve and treat more type 2 diabetes and really do a diagnostic for more chemistries within the realm of just glucose. So it's, you know, much more than glucose. It's just going to be, you know, potassium, the HbA1c, the bun, and plenty more. We want to have a solution that is catered to a consumer being able to treat themselves and really diagnose themselves and really send data to the doctor rather than them having going to each, individual to have their blood drawn for a specific reason, which can be time consuming as well. And the other one, I'm developing an ophthalmic sensory device to sense blindness in, you know, low countries like Africa, underrepresented nations as well. So it's a nonprofit work for me that helps. But I also want to kind of cater towards the larger companies.
Well, diabetes is a big field.
Yes.
It's a very competitive field too. Is it competitive for you as well?
Yes. No matter how you slice it, the whole realm of medical device is competitive. And it can be the easiest device in the world. You'll still find a way to have competitors in the same field. And no matter what realm of the body that you want to work on, there's always going to be someone looking at you. And I feel that, you know, right now that I made some headway with my designs, I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to be looked at. So
interesting. Do you have any staff?
I have four staff. They're all engineers like myself. Of course, they're focused in different areas. So I'm having them do projects in different areas. So I have two working on medical devices. So we're kind of just, I'm doing some education with them because, you know, this is their first gig out of college, really understanding, they're biomedical engineers and they need to understand the whole landscape, how, you know, competitive it actually is, you know, and how the inputs and the outputs in a medical device. And, you know, the other two, they're focused on aerospace and robotics.
Interesting. Let's roll back the clock a little bit. Give me a sense of your background.
Sure. So my background, I'm a mechanical engineer by trade. I graduated, at FIU. I'm originally from Miami, born and bred. I miss it at times. And
when it gets cold here, huh?
Only when it gets cold. Do like the summers here, so I prefer to stay here in the summers. And once I completed
last week, it was warmer here than Florida.
Oh yes, I mean I was out there with my sandals and everything. So, and I was out there without my shirt too. So it was nice. It was nice being outside.
That was too much information.
But mechanical engineer, did well. Then I found my first job out of college at a aerospace firm, Pratt and Whitney. Then did some work for there for a few years. I mean, I also did internships with them as well. And then I moved to Boston and just to do something new. And I did law school for a stint and, you know, found out that it wasn't really for me. But then I was also still working in engineering because that was my passion. And I was working in several different areas and different industries. So I worked at Perkins School for the Blind for a little bit. That's where the nonprofit work came in to play. And then I worked in iRobot. Then I finally found myself in Microline Surgical, my first medical device company that I got experience in.
Interesting. So let's sort of play it forward now. Let's give us a sense of what you think the company is going to look like and be doing in 2 years from now.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, in 2 years from now, I see myself as a pillar of the Lawrence community, because when you think of Lawrence, that's where the company's situated. When you think of Lawrence, you don't think about, you know, industry focus in medical or a technical discipline. A lot of people think about, you know, stores and you know, fashion areas and clubs and bars and lounges. I also want to grow the city to also have that aspect where, you know, now it's a growing city because now we have NetStage Medical. We have many other smaller companies that are willing to build there. And I also want to help implement that ecosystem. So as far as Rubix is concerned, I see that as the headquarters being stationed in Lawrence and really growing to a size, you know, about 100 people. And really working on many different projects as well. And that's where we're going to start spinning off to subsidiaries to have a specific focus in this unique discipline. So I'm going to have a medical device company to specifically just for medical device, another one for just aerospace, another one just for transportation. So I have plans.
Where did this whole engineering passion come from? When did it start?
I must say that it started in 2000 for me. My father, when he was still alive, we used to go to the airport a lot just to see the planes fly. That's when we could, you know, before 9/11 happened.
You're not like Chris's father. He used to take him to the airport, put him on the plane, and just leave him.
No. He cared for me that he let me stay.
And every once in a while, Chris would find his way back home.
He must have had a caller on you.
Much to their chagrin, yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
No, not a problem. So we used to just sit out there on the car, just kind of watch the planes fly. And to me, I always was wondering on how that was possible. I just wanted to understand how was that possible for a plane to fly. You know, what was the mechanics behind it to have that possible for a person to be transported from one location to another in this fluid space? And you know, I've always saw things differently. So when a plane flies, I see equations. I see different anomalies that are in play and variables. I don't see just the sky. I see everything else. I see forces. I see wind. I see drag. I see different types of elements that plagues us today. That's kind of how my mind works. And it started ever since then.
So you think like a futuristic engineer.
That's right. I would like to say so.
That's really quite interesting.
Thank you.
Trying to be, you know, being a dreamer and a practical person. You're trying to marry those two concepts together.
And it's not always easy. But
it's never easy.
It's never easy. But somehow, because of my passion, I always find a way to really incorporate, you know, many of the design aspects, many of the innovative aspects and many of the creative aspects, because I have to actually thank my friends from Miami for this one, because they're more creative artists, and I've been hanging out with them quite a bit when I was in Miami. So I saw the other side, where I was only focused on logic, where they helped me see differently. So,
yeah. Reginald, if somebody wants to find you at Rubik Strategies, how would they do that?
Oh, they can contact me at rswift, R-S-W-I-F-T, at rubitsinc.us, and they can go to my website, rubitsinc.us, rubitsinc.us.
Will you come back in October and maybe give us give us a sort of generic case that you've worked on and give us a sense of how you approach your engineering types of projects?
I sure would. Great. I definitely would.
Good. We'll schedule that. I want to thank you for being on the show today. Thanks, my co-host, Alex Dablofsky, also. And we'll be putting Chris on an airplane this afternoon and seeing if he can return again. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to return after these messages.